Nice. Brought to you by Sin. You hear the smooth jazz tones this evening. I don't know.
Body by Sin. It body sounds like some. Sin. Yeah, it sounds like some, like, you know how they have those Visalis commercials or Isagenix, the weight loss stuff. I could have my own weight loss line, and it'd be called even, Body by Sin.
Yeah, or I was even thinking like one of those Axe sprays, like Body by Sin.
Yes.
Spray it on.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, I do have a interesting story, but definitely not suitable to say in the podcast, or else we'd have to be rated mature for sure, or explicit.
Nice.
Maybe we'll
save that for the after hours part of the podcast.
Yeah, the after show. Let's just say you can look up Gwyneth Paltrow has a new candle smell. Let's just leave it at that. You can look it up, and I'm sure you'll see it in the news.
I'm Googling now. Is the one of the first two.
You see what I'm talking about? All right.
Yes.
So if anyone's listening, you can just Google that. What we'll say. Okay, hello everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 42 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your host, as always, are Kingsley Mack and Sin. And your guests for tonight are Kingsley Mack and Sin. How are you doing, Sin?
Wow, I am so nice. You basically did me twice right there. I am magical as always, sir. How are you?
I'm good. We have. Man,
I was going to say it's been a pretty late week. No guests, just you and me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had our great last week's show that I know a lot of people appreciated and had that planned for a while, and we have some great guests coming up. But as always, we wanted to get a podcast out to see what's going on in the game, whatever we're doing, what we might be looking forward to coming up. But let's see, what's new, Sin? What are you, have any fun drinks or chips you're eating or anything like that?
I don't know about necessarily fun drinks. I'm out of my Bumbu, unfortunately. So I haven't really dived much into getting another bottle and drinking anything else at the moment. But I've been really enjoying the Salsa Verde Doritos. And I haven't had them in a few weeks or so. And I picked them up tonight at Walmart before recording because I had to go get some milk for the kiddos for tomorrow. So, of course, that was one of my my treats to myself. What about you? I know you've been talking about these Moscow mules, but I don't think I've ever – I might have missed it in Discord, but I don't even know what that is.
Yeah,
so you might have to tell me.
But, you know, when you were first starting with Salsa Verde chips, I got really excited, but then – I thought you were going to have some real salsa verde, not just some powdered Doritos.
Oh, no, no,
those are all good too, but I love, I love my fresh salsas. I'm a huge salsa nerd. I could talk for a long time about that. My wife and I have this favorite salsa that we can only get certain stores around here. And we're trying to talk our main big store, Smith's, who is owned by the Kroger Corporation that owns a lot of other chains. It may have heard of it. Smith's is the name out here in Utah. And they don't have the salsa yet. It's like a locally owned one. But we're like putting it on the list so that the distributors will hopefully start getting it. And it's like this really heavily, roasted salsa. So, you know, you take the chilies and the tomatoes, and if you're making it yourself, you basically roast them on a grill or something like that. So it kind of, you know, blackens the skin everywhere and has a really good flavor. And then you make it into a salsa.
And that sounds pretty good.
Oh yeah. Those are the best because they're very flavorful. They don't have to be spicy or anything. Not like jalapenos. It's just flavorful salsa is what I like.
Awesome. And we'll welcome Kingsley's dogs in as guests tonight.
Yeah, they're the guests. That is Dexter, who's our newest dog, by the way. We have three dogs.
Nice. Yeah.
And I'll get to your Moscow Mule thing here in a second. No, we're just chilling tonight recording. And that's why I don't even mind if he's barking. If he goes too long, I'll
throw something at him. And it has to be like a toy, though. No animal cruelty, just like a squeaky toy so that he has something to play with. But I have no room to talk. My dog, when he's up running around, if he's not farting next to me, he's up and his nails like scratch against the floor. And because I'm out in the open, like anytime anybody's walking around, whether upstairs or on this level, you can hear it.
Yeah, dogs are fun. This newest one is a Wheaton Terrier and very loud guard dog. Like, but definitely his bark is stronger than his bite. He's like the biggest ham. If he meets everyone, he's totally friendly, but he will just bark so much louder than normal dogs at the slightest little sound of anything. I'm like, come on, dude, this is getting annoying.
So he has the small dog complex, all kind bark of. And no bite.
Yeah, but he's not like, he's like a medium-sized dog, but yeah, it's just kind of like, shut up sometimes.
Now, circling back past right before the dogs, you had mentioned one episode before. Your stores in your area, you basically have to request stuff to bring them in. And that's the same with liquor, but that's also the same with food.
No, with the food. Yeah, we have to request milk if we ever want it.
It makes me not ever want to go to your state, not going to lie, because it reminds me, like, when you like, I'm thinking to myself, and I mean this in a very, very nice way. It's like some, what's that movie? Bird, Mockingjay, that movie franchise, Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah, Hunger Games.
Where you have like these districts and you're kind of like allocated so much. Utah is kind of like this district where you just allocated this and you'd have to like request stuff otherwise.
Oh, geez. No, yeah. I just mean, like, if you want something special, a lot of the grocery stores will try to accommodate your request. You know, they can order in, you know, special things that they might not have. But it's definitely true on the liquor. You can't, there are no such thing as private store liquor stores. The state controls all hard liquor. You can get beer at the gas stations and the grocery stores, but anything other than beer, you have to only get at the state-owned liquor stores. Man. It has its pluses and minuses. The main minus is they're never open on Sunday, but they actually have good selection, and you can special order stuff pretty easily that maybe a private store wouldn't consider ordering in.
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like I didn't have it special ordered the Bamboo because this one store didn't have it, and I did find it at somewhere else why they were ordering it in. And the place finally got it in where I had put the order in at. And I bought that's where I've gotten my last two bottles from. So, yeah, I just would never think going to a grocery store special ordering something.
Well, now you know, Sin.
I know.
Half the battle.
This is true. This is true. And so we are Captain Planet.
You're not familiar with the Moscow Mule yet?
No. So do tell. What's in it?
Okay, just a second. My window is being lame. I got to close this. First I was too hot and then I was too cold.
So you're basically Katy Perry.
Yes. Okay, so the Moscow, have you heard of ginger beer? You know, it's like ginger ale, but ginger beer is stronger.
Is that like a beer made for my wife since she's a redhead?
You could go that way, I guess. Ginger beer isn't even a beer. It's like root beer. It's ginger ale, but it's
from like the ginger root, basically.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
It's funny because there's ginger ale, but ginger beer is just basically a much stronger ginger ale, but it's still carbonated, yada, yada. Have you heard of the Cock and Bull brand? You should do a Google search on that. Cock and Bull ginger beer.
Nope. I'm Googling as we speak.
This is a very strong ginger beer, and the history of this Moscow Mule is it was actually created in Southern California at the famous Cock and Bull restaurant in Hollywood. They make their own ginger beer, and it's like this restaurant, and they created this drink called the Moscow Mule. And what it is, it's a mixture of vodka. You can put in a shot of vodka. Lime, so you just squeeze some lime in it. Ginger beer or ginger ale, and I'll go to that in a second. And some ice. And the cool thing is you put them in these, if you do a search on it, these copper cups, they have a very distinctive look. They keep it really cold, which is pretty fun. They have a really cool look. I've posted a picture in the Discord. And it's a very refreshing drink. I love any drink that has lime in it. I like, you know, margaritas, and I like mojitos and drinks like that. So this one just kind of appeals to me also.
Now, did you get that like casted iron mug that I see a lot of these pictures in?
Yep.
It's like a copper mug for, yes. Since we don't have a visual, podcasts aren't visual format. It looks like it's copper with dimples all over it is the best way I can call it.
And you can order a pack on Amazon for not too expensive. And they are really fun to drink out of. And they keep it really cold. Like you feel the outside, it feels like it's all frosty.
What would they be called? Copper dimple mugs?
No, you can just type in copper mug Moscow Mule and find it that way on Amazon. The one that we ordered is the set that's $31, handcrafted copper mug, 4-pack. It comes with the straws and the shot mixer too. So I like that one. I can put a link in the Discord if anyone's interested.
Yes, do that now.
Yes. But yeah, it's a good drink. I highly recommend it. I'm not usually like a vodka person, unless it's in a mixed drink, obviously. But this is actually really good. It's pretty refreshing.
It looks good. And because it has vodka in it, I definitely would be game for that. And those mugs are pretty cool looking, not going to lie.
Yeah, they are really cool.
Even if you use them for other drinks, I think they would be kind of like a nice touch for other adult beverages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I have that to
get
tonight.
Me some of those.
And Stacy and I went to this store recently called Pirate O's. What do you think Pirate O's is about, Sin?
It sounds like a cereal to me.
I know it does, actually. I think there is a pirate cereal.
But no clue otherwise.
Yeah. It is a import store. So it's one of those stores that has like a bunch of candies and chocolates from England and Australia and France and all these countries. And not just candies and chocolates, but foods, packaged things. So just all sorts of unique stuff. Nothing normal really you'd find in there. Like just, you're not going to find like American multi meal cereal. It's just all imported goods. And I found these by Anton Berg, candies made in Denmark. And have you heard of marzipan? It's like that almond paste, kind of like creamy dessert thing. Sometimes they put them on top of cake. Sometimes they're like in a chocolate.
I've heard of it, but yeah. never it's an dive too much into that.
Yeah, it's an almond. But this is like an... It almost has the taste of consistency of like coconut cream or something because there's a little bit of chopped up almonds in it. And then this is an apricot brandy marzipan chocolate. And I'll post a picture of this later in our Discord also. And so
apricot brandy.
Yeah, it is really good. You know, we might have to start having a live video podcast if we're going to, this
do visual aids. Different.
I know, maybe not with our guests, but at least these little extracurricular ones.
Man, I got a part of my Secret Santa gift was a drink book. And I'm just kind of like we're talking about drinks. I like picked it up just to look at it. And I've known some people and just looking at one of the recipes in here, I know some people that I work with in particular, they like old fashions, which I guess are more of a kind of like a whiskey type drink. I could say that I've probably never actually, I know I've never had one. So now I might have to actually try it.
You have a friend who loves those and mixes them up for me occasionally.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. I really, one day when I'm probably tax time, I'm thinking if I can put a little money towards my basement, I would love to get just a little section finished off, have all my equipment down there, and have like a little like rack, like a little bar set up that I could just go down there and chill and get away from everybody. It'll be definitely my little man cave.
Yeah. Yeah. You need a little fridge or a wet bar or something, you know, so you can have.
Yeah. I would never need to see my wife and kids after all that. I can game, I can record. I could go to 6 monitors and truly multitask.
It is nice having, like, I have kind of like my own office. It's my wife's music room and my office, but I use it way more than she does. And she likes being in the bedroom, and then I kind of have the office. And so, yeah, it's kind of nice having your own space at times. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the awkward spot to give you a visual. Well, the one side of my house, half of it is the dining room, like a formal dining room. And it's separated because there's like the laminate or hardwood flooring or whatever it is on one side and carpet on the other. And the carpet's basically the office, what we use as our office. My desk is smack dab on the middle. Half of my desk is on one type of floor. The other half is on the carpet. So it is awkward.
Isn't it like near the kitchen you were just kind of mentioning?
Yeah, it's because I'm like right between the dining room and office, and probably a few steps away, like I can look out and I can see into my kitchen, not the entire kitchen, but kind of where the stove and the coffee, my Keurig is.
You're like the reception person for a fancy restaurant sitting down. Like, may I take your reservation, please? And come to the kitchen.
Oh, man. That would actually not be a bad idea. Have like a gamer themed restaurant like that. You have people walking around like with headsets, like these Blue Lolas or Sennheisers, just walking around.
Yeah,
you heard it here first. And just remember, I sell ideas now as part of my business plan. So I'll sell ideas that have been used.
I hear GameStop isn't doing too well. Speaking of like gamer places.
That's because everything's going digital, and they're only good now for memorabilia. Basically, if people are looking for gaming themed items, I can see that as being a place to go, but most people are buying it digital.
I'm happy Best Buy is still doing fairly good. I thought they would have been done by now.
They sell too many items. They're kind of the Walmart of electronic stores,
mm-hmm. Which I guess is good for them.
Yes.
I mean, you can get fridges there. You can get stoves. Yeah.
Movie stoves, phones, laptops. They even sell Apple products now. Yeah, video games, soundbars. They even have, like, stuff for your car. Geek Squad, if people don't have, like, tech support, they have that in there as well. I mean,
don't use them for any Apple support, guys. Please don't. I'd rather give you free support than you use them and be disappointed.
And I'm pretty sure they charge just to look at it. It's like a car dealership. They'll charge you just to look at your check engine light.
Oh yeah, this is yum. Nice dessert.
Well, I would be eating my chips, but I don't want to crunch too loudly into the microphone.
Yeah. So what's been going on in Destiny?
You know, I've been actually thinking about that. I know I've played a little bit. I haven't been playing every single night. I think for me, the most part has just been cleaning up bounties. I think, what was it, two nights ago now, we did the Scourge of the Past raid.
Yes, we did.
Got the completion. I did not get my second Anarchy. I did finish my Python quest, or the pinnacle or ritual drop for Gambit. I still have, I've gotten my weapons for both Strikes and Gambit, but I haven't finished the other seasonal pursuits where you get the emblems. I haven't finished those yet, and I have not done anything with Crucible. But the same team we did Scourge with the other night, we ended up doing the Legendary Sundial. Yeah, that was rough. It was fun, but it was rough.
I see. That's why I like doing stuff like that, because it's actually unique and fun. And you can, yeah, we were worried, you know, because I don't know if we, yeah, we did go down to only one person live at one point. It was me. It's a good thing I didn't wipe us. And then I got a revive on someone. And then we were stuck doing chain revives for a few minutes there. We were kind of fumbling. It's mostly just the last room. And the tip, by the way, is you want to have at least two Warlock Wells. Three will make it immensely easier. But with two Warlock Wells, maybe a Titan Bubble, you know, you can get it done. And you just need to constantly be aware of the biggest thing, especially with, we did it the week with the Arc guy, is, and it was extra arc damage. So when he sends down those arc bolts of lightning, you need to be totally out of that area, because even just the slightest one, you'll be instantly dead. And then the other thing was those, what are the big guys with the axes that come running at you?
The carvers or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You know what we mean. But
yes,
they will circle around quickly, even though the strat is to stand in the back and just kind of pick away at the boss. And you can generally take care of the other ants pretty easily, but they will come running at you around from the sides, and they'll get overwhelming too. But we got it done. And I'm glad it was fun to do this activity that, even though wasn't necessarily needed to do for future triumphs for this week, I still had fun doing it. It gives you an emblem. And I like emblems, so I have that new Legend Sundial emblem.
Yeah, I put mine on shortly after finishing.
And of course, Pinnacle Drop, which I don't care as much about, but I was able to put it into my, I got an energy drop, so I'm at least 963 on something now for my base, you know, level.
Yes, that's certainly helpful. And even though Legendary Sundial is out, for anybody chasing triumphs, we're what, another week, 2 weeks away from the Enotem or whatever it's called. There's a specific boss.
Yeah, I think it's 2 weeks. I'm going to look at the calendar right here. We have, yeah, we'll have some more news telling you about this week's reset coming up here in a second, but it is going to be the 28th. So just looking at the calendar, I'm sure my math is right, but yeah, that will be 2 weeks on that reset. That will be the Exotic Quest Bastion. Oh, wait, no, that's only that. The Exotic Quest Bastion is in 2 weeks. So there's nothing this coming week as far as big stuff. And then in 2 weeks, there will be the Exotic Quest Bastion. And then in 3 weeks is when there is the Empyrean Foundation. We still don't know what that is. And then the Sundial Innotum. And then we can run that on Legend to get the actual Triumph is what we need.
Nice. It sounds to me like they're time gating it like the Undying Mind.
Well, hopefully this one's better.
Yeah, hopefully a little bit better. The Undying Mind was a little lacking. Speaking of lacking, I'm going to use that for a transition. Tuesday, we had the drop for the new Exotic Quest, which was super easy, super light as far as work. It did not require much. I've heard a lot of people talk, and there's a lot of people that say they really like this, that it wasn't a grind, it wasn't a big sweat fest. What were your thoughts? I know we didn't talk about it basically last podcast because we had the special episode with Gator and Skull, but did you like the shorter version of the Exotic Quest, or how did you feel?
I didn't like it at all, but I'm not necessarily upset that they did this or think that it was a bad idea, as long as they go back and forth between longer quests and or more difficult quests and then shorter quests. I understand, and I would say the majority of the things I saw on Twitter, maybe they're just the people I follow, were disappointed, but I saw a few that liked it. And then there's always the thing like, well, people complain one way or the other way, they'll never be happy. I'm like, well, yeah, we've known this for years. Destiny can never please everyone. So it's okay that they did a shorter quest. But I did, you know, if you're asking me if I liked it, I would have preferred for it to be something else. I was kind of like, I mean, I really enjoyed the dialogue at the end. It was funny and interesting. But yeah, looking for those things weren't very fun to me. I would have rather even played like two Crucible matches on that map or something. And then you go back in afterwards and like, okay, now you've, now you're here for whatever reason. Let's talk about other stuff. But like, and I guess there's, yeah, there's the lore. We're looking for those frames that are just lying around, but
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I would rather look for, I like those treasure chest things better. You know, those X mark the spots and you have to
run around the maps,
run around and find it. I didn't like these 10 on one Crucible map. It was just kind of, I don't know.
It was light. I appreciated it personally for the fact that it was short and it didn't take a lot of time to do. And fortunately, by then you had already done it. So we both jumped in and two people can scan them fairly quick and listen to the dialogue. And I like that. I'm thinking that Bastion coming out in 2 weeks is probably going to be a little bit longer quest. And I think with that balance, having one short, one long is nice. Having every single one of them a long grind and having to chase down a bunch of stuff, I think that maybe, and hopefully this is what they're aiming for, is trying to please both sides of it. You have an easy one and a long one.
Well, let's talk about this. Do you feel like the gun is worth it or fun? I mean, that's the other thing, is like, I almost feel like we're getting exotic fatigue of too many weapons these days. Will you use it?
I have used it, actually, and I've been using it in the strike playlist where you need the solar weapon kills for, you need like 675 solar weapon kills to complete the last phase for this emblem, for this seasonal quest.
Gotcha.
I think it's okay because it has basically two different firing modes. A long hold, it fires kind of like a mini 1,000 voices. You can single tap it, and it gives you a single burst, really quick, like a sidearm, but you have to keep tapping like a scout. So you have to keep tapping the button. So it can kind of give you both, best of both worlds. Wasn't too impressed overall with damage. I don't think if there's anything special there or too OP with it. I think it's an interesting and fun gun. It's something different. But with as many exotics as we have, and only being able to use one, it definitely limits build. Basically, what we can do as far as builds. How many exotics do we even have now? Do you even know the count?
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've mentioned this before. I may have on the podcast, but at least to people in person. I wish we could get to a point where we could actually put on two exotic weapons at a time. And I understand that may be a balancing nightmare for Bungie, but if they could somehow figure it out, like even if we have to do some super hard quest or long grindy thing or level up the weapons forever, just so that we can run a second exotic in our weapon slots, at least in PvE. I don't know. I just wish they could do something because there's so many good exotics that I would love to run. And it kind of just goes down to the top five or so that we're always running. I mean, I'm looking in the kinetic slot alone. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rows and three columns. And then there's a second page and that's just for kinetic. And then
so MVP. I have Dima and there's an exotic field for this. So let me just give you a total breakdown of weapons. I don't think the exotic though breaks down. Okay. It does break it down. There's 145 total exotics. 64 of those are weapons.
Okay.
64. So, correct. So there's currently 544 other weapons, or at least listed in DIM under the weapons tab for primary, special, and heavy. So we'll call it 600 total weapons. That basically puts the exotics at 10% of the total pool.
Yeah. I mean, Borderlands has a way, they call them legendaries for their, but they're yellow special drops. You can actually do more than one at a time. So
right now they could, too. You know, I was thinking, you were saying maybe there's be a way we could grind out getting to that point of using multiple exotics. Bungie is in a good spot right now to be able to execute on something like that and it not break the game for a long period of time by using the seasonal artifact. You could give somebody the chance, and maybe it's in the first column and it costs 5 upgrade points. You have a choice where you have to spend 5 upgrade points to unlock it, but that means you would sacrifice being able to choose so many other mods while having that active. You give the person the choice to choose one over the other. That could give somebody a really meaningful choice and give them the option to test it out one season without having to break the game for a long period of time. Because what, seasons 3, maybe 4 months max, probably 3 months if we think about it, right? 3 months?
Yeah, they're 3 months right now. They have a pretty good schedule, so it's once a quarter.
Yeah, so 3 months, if it breaks the game, you take it out the next month, you take that ability away, you can't use 2 exotics, and you test something else.
Yeah. Maybe they'll at least do that for the next revision, the online version or the Destiny 3, whatever we end up getting, hopefully at least by then. Just because there's so many cool exotics. And I would love to run. I mean, I would even consider running things like Rat King more. Can you imagine?
Lies.
I was going in with Skull to run some
Catalyst
things in the Whisper mission, and Rat King was one of the ones we were working on, because if you have the Catalyst, you can't level it up unless you're with another Rat King person. So we're like, okay, let's go in there together. And there's a lot of kills you need. So I think we only got like 25-30% in one round of doing it, where a lot of other weapons doing that thrall way, I can get 60-80% in one run. So I don't know, but like, it'd be nice to have Rat King on maybe just more often, and then just occasionally use it if I know someone else is around, and just very slowly work on that just so that I'd have it done. Just the fact of letting you have another exotic loaded up so you can do that. I did get, speaking of catalysts, my symmetry. I got my 400, you know, you don't have to actually get 400 when you have the season pass leveled up activities, because it quadruples it, but I got my 400, you know, points or whatever. And then that opens up the ability to then do the catalyst, where you have to get kills, but it's just kills. And since it's primary ammo, super easy to do in the Whisper mission. So I got like 80% of it done there. And then I didn't feel like going back in. And then I finished the rest in strikes the other night. I think actually Skull was with us again, and you were with me also in strikes. And that gives you the ability to hold 20 dynamic charges instead of 15. Maybe not a huge deal, but I like leveling up these exotics, so they also do the orbs possibility. And I like symmetry. It's a fun weapon.
Right. I've not personally played around with it too much. And I'm not even close to my 400 yet. And I've my seasonal artifact, my artifacts is ranked up a little bit. So each time I'm in there, it's more than one, but I think I'm only like at 110, 115 out of 400.
And where are you on your season pass?
I'm at 50.
Okay. I'm at 50.
45 or 50. It's been now 2 days since I've logged in, but I think it was about that. And I've been trying to do as many bounties as possible, because I've been also going for upgrading these obelisks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly I've been doing the upgrading the obelisks for the triumphs. As far as like getting the weapons, I don't even know if I care about I haven't even done research on what the god rolls are. Again, I just have so much weapon fatigue. Unless I start hearing from the general public, not just a Datto video, but the general public, like, oh, everyone needs to have Traveler's Judgment this role, like it's used for everything, then I'll start grinding for that. But until I hear that, I'm not going
to. Did you just say Traveler's Judgment? Did you just bring the damaged sidearm? Is that what that's called?
I thought there was a. I probably said that wrong.
Nope, it's Traveler's Chosen. I'm thinking of Traveler's Chosen. Okay.
Who knows if even the one I said is a thing. But I am excited in the season rank up pass, as Gator would call it, the battle pass. The ornaments that you get once you get to level, looks like they start around level 64. You get the arms, and then you get the boots at 67. And then you get the bond, well, the class item at 77. And then the biggest thing is the chest piece at 87. And the Warlock one looks pretty cool. I'm not so excited for the helmet. You get that at 97 because it makes it look basically like a Saint 14 Titan helmet, which for me on a Warlock seems weird. Why did Warlock shouldn't look like Titans?
Yes, they should.
But I'm excited for the robes. And the Hunter ones look pretty cool too. I know Link was rocking those the other day. The Warlock ones and the Hunter ones kind of have like this split open, like six different things that come down. Well, not on the Hunter, but on the Warlock, there's like these thin strands that come down. Not like really thin, like a female dancer, but like thick enough that it would look good on like a guy character. But it's different than normal. It looks pretty unique. So we'll have to see that when I get it. So
yeah, I've not looked at those much. So
yeah, those are just some of the things we're working on. Some of the things we're looking to. I got all my weapons done, so really all I have left is, and I need to, my last obelisk, my fourth one, is like at level 8 or so, so that'll be quick enough to get to 11. So the main thing will be, I think for the people that have hit it hard, it'll be that 1st of February where we can do the legend Innotom. Will probably be what will be the time-gated thing so that people can start getting their weapon. If it was anything like last season, you could get your title as soon as that, the final Vex Final Offense came out.
I am like nowhere close to that at this point. I'd have to grind my face off for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Well, you won't have to do as much as last season. It is easier. But yeah, it's still some grinding.
And honestly, I think I have most of them done. It's just the obelisks I need to upgrade. And that's about it. I think the obelisks, really. And the pinnacle gear.
Oh, the Christmas event is now over. I mean, we're recording this the night before it ends. So by the time you hear this, it is done. So hopefully you baked any last-minute cookies you want to do. We had fun delivering our cookie to Riven just so we could finally get
out. Right.
If you consider that delivering to Riven, kind of just jumped.
I really did not care about those, though, honestly.
I know, right?
I think just doing it for the sake of doing it, just so we could say we were in there with Riven.
Yep. It was something to do.
Yeah, I definitely did not do the quest and upgrade the Sparrow.
No, neither did I. And then I'm still looking forward to doing a Prestige Leviathan sometime. Maybe if any people want to run Prestige Eater of World to and Spire of Stars, at least to work on getting the catalyst. We don't probably want to run Spire of Stars all the way through to the end, but Prestige Eater of World isn't too hard to run through to the end, depending on the loadout.
Right. And
the Telesto one.
I did see a tweet from DMG, because I guess there was some community feedback regarding moving the catalyst to other activities from those events. And his question was, would you all even have a reason to run these if we did that?
Well, here's the thing. I agree, probably. I don't think they should be moved, but people don't really run them anyways. They forget.
Right.
I don't think it's important enough. It's not like we can often, I mean, it takes a certain person. The person who would really care probably is enjoys running the raids anyways, but I just don't know that many people is like, okay, I only play PvP, but I really want the Telesto catalyst. So let's run into Eater of Worlds. You know, I mean, if I saw more of that, then I'd be raiding with those people.
Yeah. I mean, I personally wouldn't mind having the catalyst for either Sleeper or Telesto, just because I'm with exotics. Sleeper had its day where it was basically the weapon of choice. All these exotics basically have their day where they're the weapon of choice. Right now, the weapon of choice is Izanagi's Burden. And Fortunately, I'm fortunate enough to have the catalyst done, got it and done, and been able to use it. But, you know, I know sleepers have been out there. I've never gotten the catalyst. Telesto, I know that's still pretty viable. Unfortunately, until Bungie nerfed the Warlock gauntlet. Was it a gauntlet that they were pairing with Telesto? They didn't nerf it. They disabled it. There was a Warlock exotic they disabled.
Yeah, I don't remember then. That was probably a while ago, or was that recently?
Fairly recent, I think within the last week or two. I can't think of the name.
It's not with the one that I'm running, because there's another one that pairs with it, okay? But I'm using the Karnstein Armlets build. That doesn't necessarily pair with Telesto per se, but there is a build that will give you melee kills or restore health for a short duration. So when you use that, and I mentioned it on the last week's show, but that when you pair with some other things, one of the builds works well if you have a fusion rifle or a shotgun. And the way Telesto is right now, Telesto is a pretty good choice.
I'm trying to take a look. I want to say it was Winter's Guile.
It does ring the bell.
Where the Warlord's Sigil perk retains increased melee damage. Maybe that was the Titans one.
I do think that, while you're looking that up, that another reason why they should keep these in the activities, it may get a small chance of people wanting to run them. I think there should even be something unique in this Legend Sundial, and maybe there will be when Inotem comes out, but right now it's like, there's not much of a reason to run it. And with Menagerie Heroic, there's a big reason to run it because people really want the Izanagi's Catalyst. And that's pretty fun to get people to go back into Heroic Menagerie if they didn't have that yet and run that. And so by having some really cool, unique reward in these activities, specifically the Prestige or the Heroic versions, will get people to want to do that. And me saying that, I know I got to be fair about the situation. I also believe that these exotic quests that tell people to go into Crucible and do things are fine also. So I'm not going to be this PvE person that says there should never be exotic quests where you have to go in Crucible. That's fine. Keep those and also keep these catalysts in the raid. Then at least there might be a small chance people want to run them.
Yeah, I think I would agree. If you give the raids something meaningful to actually go for, then it gives more reason to go back and do them.
Yes. So everyone, you heard that here. Let's raid some more.
And Winter's Guile is the Warlock exotic. I think it's very similar to the Titan one. The exotic perk was eliminating enemies with melee attacks, increase your melee damage. And I think because there's this bug with melee damage right now, that I think that's the reason.
Well, and another interesting thing that this may be cleared up before, by the time you hear this, but as of right now, we were scheduled to have an update on Tuesday, which is tomorrow for us, as we're recording this, but Tuesday, January 14th was finally going to be the first patch update since Season of Dawn started. And they were going to fix many things, some things that people didn't want fixed. But for whatever reason, a tweet came out a few hours ago saying that due to an issue, that update will not be coming out as planned on Tuesday. Now, who knows what that means? If it's going to be pushed back a week, 2 weeks, or even just a day or two. So maybe you'll know more by the time you hear this. But as of right now, we will not be getting the update that will be fixing, the EDZ obelisk, which is super annoying when you try to proc that.
That and, one does get annoying.
Oh man, you just gotta get all your fractaline ahead of time and then hit it hard once and level it up to level 11 and be done with it. And then we also included in that update would be fixing Wishender, which people don't necessarily want finished or fixed, you know, the extra damage that it's doing.
Yeah, that's I think that's one bug or one change that people have really gotten accustomed to. I have personally not used Wishender, so it doesn't bother me much.
Yeah, I'm not as much of a bow person. I thought I would be.
I've been using it while going for this Gambit stuff and trying to go and multitask and get Hush. So I've made some progress on getting that at least.
Mm-hmm. When I did Bose and Vex Offensive, I actually started kind of liking it. But then again, just I go back to my other weapons. So I don't know. But Bose are cool.
Yeah, they're okay every now and again.
Yeah. So yeah, those are things coming up. Of course, we also have the last thing on the calendar is Crimson Days. You know, that's way out on February 11th through the 18th. Only 1 week for that. Probably is not going to be anything too big of a deal. I kind of hope they start switching up these activities a little bit by next year. I'm getting a little bored of the Christmas one always being the same, the Halloween one always being the same, the Crimson Days always being the same. So they got to find some way to mix it up. And again, we might have a Destiny 3 or a Destiny Online by then. So things could be totally different.
The Destiny Online portion would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stadia tried to get us there, but I don't think they're succeeding from what I've heard.
No. I heard that their population...
That was my light jab. Light jab.
Well, I kind of expected it would happen. I hate to say... I mean, I wanted it to take off more, but I heard the population's already cut in half from when Destiny Stadia first even started, and it never started high, of course. And now it's even half of that. So, yeah, it's kind of going to burn and die, at least for Destiny players. Maybe Google will keep it running for a while.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it can only get better. If there's more stable internet out there, and I think that's the biggest issue with it, I think it would be, and I've heard some other podcasts talk about it where they've gone in depth and on their opinions and how that works while traveling on some like crappy Wi-Fi and internet that's not as stable as it could be. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't perform very well on, especially if you're trying to play a multiplayer game. Home, I'm sure they said it's fine. Stable internet, it's fine. It seems to work pretty well. But I think once the internet issue is resolved, they might see a higher population on it.
Yeah. But here's the thing, people. I said this before. You can already do this with GeForce NVIDIA Now service, and it actually puts you in the PC population. It doesn't put you in with just Google Stadia population. So maybe Google's bandwidth is like a little bit better than GeForce Now, but if you really want to do it, you can do it already and actually play with other PC players. So I the whole Google Stadia thing, also a big down point is like they have their own group. That's not like with the general PC population. That's probably right. Part of its death sentence also.
Yeah. And if they had it part of the PC population or maybe part of the console population because of what it is, I don't know. That's a tough one. I think they're if they do, they could really shoot themselves in the foot because then they have people on crappy connection playing with people, those with good connection, and if they're playing PvP, the ones on Stadia completely getting obliterated because they're having connection issues. I could see that as being an issue and why they would want to keep it separate, but time will tell.
Yes, yes, it will.
That's a random tangent at my quick jab on Stadia.
Yeah. Wow. Well, any other Destiny things or any other games you've been playing?
Oh, what was it? One night, maybe it was the Raid Night. Was it the Raid, or was it Friday? Was Raid Night Friday?
Raid Night was Friday, I believe.
So last week I had an additional day off. Fortunately, I got some additional time off from working 6 days the prior week. So Friday was my additional day off, which was nice. Early on in the night, I kind of started playing because nobody was ready for Destiny at that point. I had logged probably 20, 30 minutes and played some Diablo 3. I reset one of my characters that I had reset on one of the prior seasons. Decided to play through the campaign just a little bit, the first act in the campaign. That was fun. And I switched over to Steam and I played a little bit of Witcher 3. And I've only put maybe 30 minutes to an hour on Witcher 3 before. And so I picked up where I left off and got to play that. And really enjoyed that from the little bit I was able to play it. Then switched back over to Destiny, of course.
Well, will Witcher 3, do you think keep more interest in the future? I'm tempted to give it a try.
To me, it reminds me a lot like Skyrim, the little bit that I've played it so far. I don't know if you've personally played Skyrim or like an Elder Scrolls Online.
No.
It has a very, very similar feel to that. Very huge open world from just looking at the map, and I've only played a little bit of it, but the map kind of feels like that. Really, really big open world. You got to travel around. Very similar in how it handles to the like those games.
Okay.
Skyrim, I played a lot more in. Elder Scrolls Online, I haven't played a whole lot into that, but to me, it reminds me of that, but based around The Witcher. I like it. I don't know if it'll keep my attention and want to go back. I'd much rather go back and finish Borderlands 3, personally, and knowing that I'm so close, I think that's probably, when I'm not playing Destiny, I might want to try to go back and finish that.
Yeah. Yeah, Borderlands has plenty to do, well, if you don't hit it as your main game. I've been having fun in it, playing it some more. There's still a bunch of side quests I have to do. And of course, you haven't even hit the main campaign all the way, let alone the little expansion, which is super fun. And I bet their next expansion is probably even coming out as soon as February or so, because I think they were supposed to have 4 expansions total, and they've come out with 1 so far, and they were supposed to have them all within a year's period. So they have 3 more to do by next October or whenever the game, you know, originally came out.
Yeah, I'm interested in finishing the main story. I was less interested in completing like the side missions, and I'm sure they're fun, but with lack of timing, like time on my end, I just don't have that type of time investment. And yeah, I don't want to get so hooked that I feel like I want to have FOMO out of 2 games when I already have enough FOMO from 1.
Yeah, then don't worry about the side missions. Now, of course, we got through some of the better of the campaign. The final boss fights aren't extremely interesting or as hard or as good as some other boss battles, but it's definitely worth finishing up. But then I would highly recommend the first DLC, a really fun, not super, super long, but long enough expansion and a fun boss fight also.
One of these days. One of these days.
I mean, I guess you still have a lot to do in Destiny, but I'm kind of at the point myself where too much to do other than leveling up my season pass some more. So and there's still a lot of the season left. We're only about halfway, if you think about it, maybe even a little bit less.
Right.
A lot of season left.
Hmm.
Yeah. But that's okay, I suppose. I remember last year, some of these seasons in between were kind of smaller too. And hopefully it'll pick up the next season or the season after that.
See, I work so much is perfect, because then the little time I have more than plenty to do in the game. And I'm so far behind on things, like I just need a couple good grind sessions and I'll be caught up.
Yeah. Yep, that is true.
If you got nothing else, I don't know if you've heard Gator's show this week. Gator just had his son on their podcast over at Guardian Down. He did shout us out. Thank you, Gator.
Oh, excellent.
We would be happy to Sherpa Cam is his son, through any of the raids, whether if he wants to start off easy, like you had said, Eater Worlds or Leviathan. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have to, I'm sure Gator will hear this once it's released, but we'll also reach out. We can probably schedule that even as soon as this weekend or next, depending on when people are available.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's always fun stuff to do. So keep us in mind for sure. Well, if there's nothing else, I already was going to say we could talk about desserts, but my dessert for the evening is that apricot brandy chocolates. So there we go.
And I got Pure Leaf sweet tea with my salsa verde chips.
Nice. Tea and chips. That sounds interesting.
Yes. And I've had a couple chips. I just don't want to be on that bandwagon of binging a bag of chips and before I know it, they're gone. I'd rather savor it and enjoy them over a few days.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good show. We don't have any reviews this week either, so we will save any reviews that come up in the future and read them on the air. If you would like to review us on iTunes, that helps us get found.
Plus, is this the part where I threaten like Liam Neeson and say, if you don't review us, we will find a particular set of skills and I will find you. Fortunately, I'm joking. Yeah, but in all seriousness, go hit us up. We definitely appreciate it.
Yes, we would. And let us know what you liked about the show or not. In fact, we have our Discord channel, which would be helpful if anyone has any suggestions for, and we have gotten some, by the way, but any suggestions for who you would like on the show or topics that we're talking about on the show, feel free and join the Guardian Hub Discord. We will have that link on our website and join the channel called Podcast Idea Suggestions. And we can talk more, everyone. Well, Sin, where can people find your chips?
They can find them at 8675309 Road.
Anytown, USA.
Anytown, USA, 90210.
That's California, Southern California. That's Hollywood.
Other than that, you can find me on twitch.tv/SinMedia, typically where I stream once per week, or over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Kingsley, take a drink from that copper mug.
It is gone. Well, I'll take a little disappear. Okay, there was a little bit left.
Fantastic. Now do your thing.
Yes, you can find me as Kingsley back on PlayStation, PC, and on Twitch, where I stream occasionally, mostly if I'm raiding. On Twitter, I am MC Kingsley. And then you can find our show at our website at theguardianhub.com. And you can also find us on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. So we want to thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. You are the best listeners in the world.
For the best hub on the net.
For the best hub on the net. And again, we want to thank you so much. So thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you later.
Later.
Goodbye.
Is this the end part where we spoil that we already know who the guest is going to be next week? Or should we leave it up for imagination?
Oh, yeah. I mean, nothing's confirmed until it happens.
You never know. You don't score until you score.